Right, hi. So I'm going to present Philo. It's a system that provides consensus as a cloud service. This is a joint work with Christos, Flavia, and Dusians. So what is consensus? When multiple processes want to make a decision together, they need to run consensus. Well, there are well-known protocols for this. Paxos is one of them. Now, these protocols are used in different contexts, such as leader election, ordering transactions, and so on. Many distributed systems need consensus, and these systems are moving to cloud. So the question is how we can actually move consensus together with these systems to the cloud. So what we have seen that happens within Microsoft is that any system that needs consensus reserves some servers and deploys their instance separately. Now, there is a problem with this. None of these users are going to use their servers 24/7. So most of the servers are going to sit there idle underutilized while users are paying for them. So this is not efficient. The alternative that we're looking for is a multi-tenant model where we can actually consolidate many consensus instances together. So here there will be one giant single instance of consensus that will manage all of the other groups. So basically, all the users will subscribe to the system, and it's up to the system to manage the servers. And it's also up to the system to keep the semantics of the data for different users separate from each other. Now, this is a much better model because it's cheaper. Users pay only for what they use. Server utilization is more efficient because the system is handling it. It's going to add servers or remove them based on the client load. And more importantly, users don't have to manage their consensus instances or deploy it and so on, which makes the management much easier. So this model solves the problems with the isolated model. But it brings its own problems. The most well-known problem is the problem with noisy neighbors. So in this picture, we see two users, Alice and Bob, sharing three servers to deploy their consensus groups. Now, after 300 seconds of execution, Alice becomes aggressive, generates a lot of traffic, and is basically monopolizing the resources. And as you see, the performance of Bob is hurting now. So when we are sharing resources, we must be able to isolate performance. So to isolate performance also, it would be good to give SLA guarantees. Now, to give SLA guarantees, we must ask users what they want and then see if we can promise that to them. Users, however, have problems in estimating their runtime requirements. So we must also account for those mistakes at runtime. And on top of all of these, we would like to maximize resource usage, whereas resources means CPU, network, storage on the servers. So I will spend the rest of the talk explaining how we accomplish these. But briefly speaking, we ask users to provide high-level SLAs. We translate that to their cost in resource usage. And all the time, we are dynamically monitoring resources and adjusting the distributions. So I'll present you Philo. It's a system that provides consensus as a shared multi-tenant service. It provides performance guarantees, performance isolation, and maximizes resource utilization. So before I can actually explain how Philo operates, let's see how a user interacts with it. So when a user enters the system, they first submit an admission request. The admission request specifies the features that the user would like from its consensus group. For example, how reliable should the instance be? Should the data be in disk or in memory? How many replicas does the user want to have? And more importantly, what is the throughput SLA that users wish to get? So throughput here is the number of consensus rounds that the user would like the system to close for it in, let's say, a second, for example. And because based on the size of the value proposed for each consensus instance, the throughput is going to be different, users will also need to specify a request size. I will speak about these two in more detail later. So the user specifies the admission request. Philo looks at its servers. If it has enough servers with enough capacity, it deploys the consensus response back to the user with a handle the users will use for their future communication. So Philo is composed of three main components. Performance analyzer. This component runs before the service is launched. The The other two components, admission controller and resource controller, are running when the system is up and providing service. So, performance analyzer. So before we can actually admit users, we must know what is the performance that our system can give to the users. So that's the task of analyzer, to assess the system under various workloads and generate a performance profile. Now this is some part of our profile, and that shows how the performance changes with or without disk writes. How is the throughput affected with concurrency? What is the effect of different request sizes on throughput, on network bandwidth, storage, and CPU? Now, this space is large. There are a lot of parameters that we could explore here and generate a lot of assessment information. But that's practically impossible, so we have selected a set of configuration that makes more sense and is more common. For the rest of the configurations, for example, for request sizes larger than 32K bytes, we use prediction. Now, this profile has two main goals. One of them is that it helps us at capping SLAs that we can give to the users. We cannot promise performance beyond what actually our system can accomplish. And second, it helps us at translating high-level SLAs to their resource costs. I will also explain this in more detail later. So we have this chain replication here for implementing consensus, but you could use any other protocol. You could use Paxos, for example. But the point to remember is that any time the code changes, or any time the protocol is replaced, or any time even the server configuration is upgraded, you get new hardware, analyzer should run again and generate a new profile. So at this point, we have implemented consensus. We have and analyzed its performance, and we are ready to admit users. And that's the task of admission controller to deal with users. So users enter the system with this admission request that I showed a few seconds ago. We get this request, and our goal is to generate this, the cost of it in terms of resource usage. So to do so, we have a translation stage that is fed with the performance profile we just saw in the previous step, and it generates the resource budget that is required to promise this SLA to the users. So from this point on, this is the language that the system understands. So there's a subtle point here. As the user entered the system, they specified a particular request size. But users are not limited to this request size at runtime. They can actually submit requests of any size, and that request will let to the system as long as it fits within the resource budget of that user. All right, so now we are ready to actually deploy the consensus group. So here we have a dedicated set of servers to Philo, and our goal is to pack as many as users we can on this limited number of servers. So this boils down to solving a bin packing problem. And this is a multi-resource bin packing problem because we are dealing with a couple of different resources, network, storage, and CPU. So the details are in the paper. I won't go through them, but it's a greedy algorithm we have. And it respects a couple of constraints and policies of our system. For example, it should make sure that for fault tolerance reasons, two replicas of the same user are not placed on the same servers. So placement is running all the time. It's placing replicas of different consensus groups on different servers. As you see, we have some overlaps. Servers are shared. And it's at this stage that we generate rate limiters, which are simply multi-resource token buckets. We install them on the servers to control the rates. However, this, these buckets are augmented with another functionality, which is a cost function. And that's because before every request can pass through the system, its cost must be calculated in terms of the tokens that it needs from each resource, network, CPU, and storage before it can let into the system. So we have now placed deployed our consensus groups. But the question is that we used the fixed SLAs that users specified at admission time. And users may have misestimate their runtime requirements. So the question is, can we, after placement, be able to elastically change the resource budget, give some users more, and those that don't want more or are underutilizing their resources, basically take those resources from them, give it to the others without hurting anybody's SLA requirements. So we have a third component that does exactly this, and that's called Resource Controller. So just to remind again, this is runtime. Users are admitted to the system. They're submitting loads. And some of the users are going to need more. For example, here, the green user is going to require more consensus runs. And the red and blue users are going to want less. So here we have some servers that are shared between these guys. So we could actually ask those shared servers to provide more service to the green user. So it is the task of Resource Controller to figure out all of these situations and readjust resources temporarily at runtime. So traditionally, these centralized techniques are used for implementing resource controllers, where there is a distinguished server, and all the other servers send their resource vectors to this guy. It runs an algorithm, decides who gets what, and basically readjusts token buckets. Now, this is good because it's a centralized technique. It has visibility over all the data center. It can result in very high resource utilization. However, it has its own problems. It's centralized. It's a single point of failure. It can become a bottleneck. Its speed is low. And as the number of tenants, as the number of servers, and as the number of resources on the servers increases, the computation time that this distinguished server should do also increases. So we wanted to deploy a distributed resource controller. So to do so, we would like to have actually take the computation that this server does, break it into pieces, and give each piece to one of these servers that we have in our pool. And basically, by parallelizing the computation, speed it up. But to do so, we need to first partition our servers. But the good news is, we already did. So when we were placing replicas, we were kind of partitioning the servers as well. So what we can do now is that ask each group to communicate their resource status inside the group they are belonging to with their neighbors, and then decide who gets more resources. Now, this way, we have parallelized the computation, so it's going to be faster. But the question is, the centralized one was going to get higher resource usage. Can the distributed one as well? Well, if our partitioning was as disjoint as I'm showing in this graph, yes, that would be just easy. But we have overlapping consensus groups that servers are shared among the users. So in this case, we will need to have a couple of message passing happening in the system, and we will need a few iterations over the network until we can converge to a result that is closer to the centralized one. But depending on the placement algorithm and the server connectivity graph that we end up with, the number of iterations could be actually very low. And with our experiments, one iteration was enough to get good results, which I will show the results in a bit. So now I will show you how we perform the resource controller in distributed way. So we have used DRF, which stands for Dominant Resource Fairness Algorithm. It's a state-of-the-art algorithm. It's popular, and it has good properties. But this is the first time we're using it in a distributed setting. I'm not going to go into the details of the DRF algorithm itself, but I'll just explain how we can distribute the processing. So let's say this is one consensus group, and we have a head or the coordinator of the consensus group, and then we have followers. So followers send their resource vectors, their status, to the head replica, and then the head replica decides how much, based on these its own resources and its neighbors, it can allocate to its user. But the problem is, at the same time that these guys are followers, they're also head replicas for other consensus groups, which means that simultaneously, they could be allocating the same piece of resource to multiple users. So we have to resolve these conflicts. Basically, here, servers must reach consensus on distributing resources as well. So we execute a voting phase where followers get to reject or accept the proposals of their head replicas. And then head replica, based on the votes, tunes the buckets. But this is a very conservative approach. This avoids oversubscriptions, but is conservative. And that's because followers have to vote on the full proposals. So the alternative, a less conservative approach, would be the case where followers could actually not be as passive if they could propose their own numbers for different tenants, which brings me to our second distributed algorithm. So in this case, all the users communicate with each other their resources stats, all of them participate in the allocation phase, and send their results to the head replica, which takes the minimum as the number, the minimum of their proposals. It then tunes the buckets and goes on with the clients. Okay, so I will briefly show how these three algorithms compare. So the y-axis here shows the time it takes to perform the allocations. The lower, the better. So the centralized approach, as the number of tenants increases, actually both the centralized and distributed algorithms' speed increases. But the speed of the central algorithm is increasing more because the other guys are basically parallelized in some sense. And in terms of resource usage, the best results are achieved by the centralized technique, but our second distributed algorithm is getting very good results compared to the central one. The first one is slightly conservative, so its results doesn't compare that equally to the central one. So this is good for about three or four times faster computation, we can get almost the same efficiency in resource distribution. But of course, the cost we are paying is in message passing. So distributed algorithms are subject to sending a lot of more messages compared to centralized ones. However, the number of messages here is nothing compared to the number of messages that's being exchanged in Philo for performing consensus and all the rest of the service. So that's Philo and all of its components. There are more details in the paper, but I will spend a few seconds showing how all of these components work together. So in this example, the y-axis is the time in minutes, and the y-axis is throughput in kilo requests per second or kilo consensus runs per second. We have three users, A, B, C, all have asked for equal SLAs. This is a simple example. We have asynchronous disk writes, and request size is 1 KB. So up to 1 minute, we have two well-behaving users in the system. At minute one, the black user becomes aggressive and generates a lot of traffic, and it's pushing the performance of first user down. This is because at this point, we hadn't yet enabled our rate limiters. So at minute two, we enable our rate limiters, and the throughput goes back to normal. At minute three, first user, the loiter user, intentionally reduces its speed, and then it's underutilizing its resources. So we have extra resources, but as you see, those extra resources are not yet given to black user who wishes to have more. So at minute four, we enable a resource controller, which at this point is able to take all those underutilized resources and give them to the black user. At this point also, we have admitted another user to the system. At minute five, that new user also asks for extra requests, and the underutilized resources of the first user are not distributed equally between those two. At minute six, all of those users restore their speed. The first user, actually, the lighter one, restores its speed, and everything goes back to normal. So that's Philo. It's a system that provides consensus as a cloud service. It's a much cheaper and convenient alternative to every user deploying their own instance. To the best of my knowledge, this was the first time DRF was used in a distributed setting. So that brings me to the end of the question. I'm happy to take your questions. My talk and then questions.
Alex Schreier from Google. I was wondering how you deal with small bursty clients.
I was wondering
how you deal with small bursty clients. So for such a client, by the time you go and allocate some resources to it, its workload is already down, and then you deallocate, and then it needs more resources.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So there is it takes a few milliseconds before we can actually serve the spikes. So if the spikes are not long enough, we probably won't be able to do anything about it. If they are longer than the time it takes to redistribute resources, we won't be able to do much about it. But for the cases that the spike is longer than of computation time, we will be able to handle them. So, but yeah.
So you reject the request?
Yes. Rate limiter rejects them, yes. Because we have them installed both on the user machines and on the servers, so they are controlled in the source as well.
Hi, I'm Shadi from University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And my question is, can users change their SLA requirements dynamically? And if so, what if their new SLA requirements exceeds the capacity?
So the dynamic part is actually for the time that users change their SLAs. They can go through the admission controller again and ask for extra or lower SLAs. If the machines that we have with their remaining capacity can handle them, we will be able to serve them with their new higher SLAs. If we can't, we will need to move them around.
Okay, and do you consider like elasticity in terms of adding more servers if they cannot handle that?
Yes, sure. Yeah, if the demand increases, we will need to add more servers to output.
Okay, but that's like...
But that doesn't need to redo all the computations to move all the previous users. So it will be just for serving the future ones.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any additional questions?
Thanks for the talk. And Chuck, you're from Korean University. I'm just curious that when a tenant submit request, you as a cloud provider, you want to check some security aspect.
Security.
So, yeah, security, like do some kind of virus checking and all kind of things.
Yeah.
That'll add up, you know, that'll consume resources like a CPU and storage and so forth. So my question is, your cost function that translate, SLA to the resource, do you take those, you know, security aspect into account?
So we haven't yet considered security so far as a future resource.
Okay, so you have not?
No, not
okay.
Yet.
Thanks.